Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the monthly board meeting for the Board of Commissioners for the Housing Authority of the City of Austin, as well as for the Southwest Housing Compliance Corporation and the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation. With that, I'm going to ask Mr. Gerber to call the roll.
Commissioner Apostolo.
Present.
Commissioner Duncan Hall.
Present.
Commissioner Bailey. Commissioner Carrington. Chairman Ritchie.
Present.
Chairman, we have a quorum for all three meetings.
So we have a quorum, so we officially call the order on Thursday, January 19th at 1:10 p.m. And with that, I'll ask Commissioner Apostolo to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hiram, do we have anyone who signed up for citizens communication?
Yeah.
So, there anybody on the phone who is with the general public who would like to have 3 minutes with the board? Seeing none, we will move on to the citywide advisory report.
Great. And Commissioners, Lupe Garcia is here, our head of the citywide advisory board. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We're going to be PACA board January the 10th, 2023 at 10:30 a.m. The meeting was called to order by Lupe Garcia. Presentations were Michael Roth, property updates. Thanked all the residents who prepared for the winter freeze. We're finishing up repairs from fires and bursting. We had 2 fires on property. Reminder about the importance of fire prevention and safety. There are 10 properties for inspection scheduled for 2023. Mike, as he said to call him Mike from now on. Loan in 2023 included the completion of Chalmers West and opening the medical and dental clinics at Chalmers East. Next property to be redeveloped is mine, Santa Rita. Yeah. Very excited. Yeah. PACA community development announcements, Leilani Villegas, community development updates. Austin Public Health announced that new COVID levels have risen from low to medium. Austin has elected a new mayor, Kirk Watson. Resident council tenant participation budgets are now on a new funding cycle as of January 1st. Ms. Lee bringing home health home updates. Coordinating to mobile eye clinic to provide eye exams, tests for glaucoma, and free pair of glasses by appointment. Central Texas Food Bank will have healthy cooking and nutrition classes on January 12th. COVID and flu vaccines clinic on January 10th at 2:30 at Salinas. January 31st at Mancheca Village from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. Barbara Jackson, the youth education success updates, mental health first aid training provided to IMOMs. Training is on January 31st at a North property and a third training at South properties. The HACA website will be updated with scholarships opportunities to include the narrow Austin pathways and HACA resident scholarship deadlines. 13 book clubs will be hosted by the Book Spring beginning in February. Girl Scouts groups will be starting at Santa Rita. Murphy Rowland Workforce Development updates, IDADs and IMOs. Meeting scheduled at 6:30 p.m. on January the 10th at 6:30 p.m. 19 applicants for the Safety Ambassador Program. The next step is verifying the criminal background. There's a new foster grandparent volunteer program coordinating to schedule a tool course for IMOM so that the women can learn how to operate tool safety. Catherine Crago, digital inclusion updates, digital literacy and assistance available in North Loop with the Austin Public Library. We are assisting Chalmers residents with a Google Fiber registration. Daniel Reese, home ownership updates, financial literacy class will begin January 16th This is a three-week course with Chase Bank to teach people how to budget and save towards home ownership. Introduction of Graviela
Tolentino
as the new communication specialist at HACA. Meeting adjourned at 12:04 p.m.
Thank you.
That was the end of my presentation. And I just want to say one thing. So we got approval from Ronald McDonald's House. iMoms is going to do breakfast once a month for the families there and children with cancer. So we're going to be going there and providing breakfast. We get to cook for them.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great.
So we're really excited that we got approved to do this. So but we can only go six at a time. So we're going to be rotating every month.
Congratulations, that's great.
You're welcome. Yes. So that's the end of me, and have a great day.
I have a meeting.
Thanks, Lupe.
You're welcome.
Commissioners, we'll go down to the consent agenda. Item number one, and the only item on the consent agenda, is approval of the board minutes summary for the board meeting held on December 7th, 2022.
I move approval of the minutes on
the
agenda.
Richard Eckhall Hall moves approval.
Second.
Apostolo seconds. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? And the minutes are approved. Under action items, Mr. Chairman, we're going to skip item number two. There's an outstanding issue. We still need to get a letter from HUD resolving, and so that we can take this important step that's represented in item number two. So we'll just hold it off until February. I think we'll have it taken care of by then. Basically, we're trying to close the Jobs Plus grant in order for us to fully close kind of our annual contributions contracts with HUD. You have to have that grant closed. Wow. And so we're still waiting for the letter for them. We thought we'd have it today. We thought we'd have it a month ago, but we're still waiting for it.
Yes.
So hopefully we'll be ready by February. So we'll, your permission, we'll table that item till February. Going to item number three, I'll ask our friends from the Boys and Girls Clubs to come on up and have a seat with Leilani and Barbara. It's the presentation, discussion, and possible action regarding resolution 2780, renewal of the Boys and Girls Club contract for Chalmers and Meadowbrook for comprehensive youth development clubs. As all of you know, we've been joined at the hip with Boys and Girls Clubs and with communities and schools for many years. We're excited about the establishment of a new big club at Chalmers that's under construction there at Chalmers West. This is the annual rule for contracts that would extend our partnership with them. So welcome. I'll turn it over to you, Leilani.
Yes, good afternoon, Board of Commissioners, HACA staff, and distinguished guests. My name is Leilani Lim Villegas. I serve as the Senior Director of Community Development, and today we are requesting the board to consider the approval of the contract renewal for the Boys and Girls Club, very specifically for two particular locations, which are Meadowbrook and Chalmers Courts. It is my pleasure to announce the promotion of these two gentlemen. They're both directors of club operations at the Boys and Girls Club. They've had several changes in management, but with that, I would like to be handing off all of the statistics that we have here. The Boys and Girls Club was one of the only youth organizations that stayed open in person throughout the entire pandemic. And that was very, very, very important for us, for our kids, especially since the kids were staying at home. And so we really counted so much on the Boys and Girls Club to make sure that there was some place for our children to be during the pandemic. They helped them with academic activities and also with after school. So with that, with more history of that, with your consideration, I'd like to turn it over to Barbara Jackson, the Family Opportunity Project Director.
Hello, everyone. I just have a short bit to add, and that is that we do operate three clubs, one at Chalmers, one at Meadowbrook, and one at Booker T. Washington. This particular contract is just for the two clubs, Chalmers and Meadowbrook. The Booker T. Washington Club was added after we bid the contract, and that was part of our response to COVID, and we asked partners to step up and provide additional services, which the Boys and Girls Club did at Booker T. Washington. And we're really happy to be able to continue that contract. But in terms of what's in front of you today, it's for Chalmers and Meadowbrook. Thank you.
Liberty Washington back in.
I'm sorry, what was that?
So this is for just two properties.
Right.
And so will Booker T. Washington end up getting?
We renewed that last month. Okay. It's less than $100,000, that particular contract, so we didn't bring it in front of the board.
Okay. That was a different cycle. What happened to BTW? That's not Alaska, no. Yes, so so with that, we do have a brief presentations. I think Art Castillo will go first, and then Jose Sustaita, they'll do a tag team, and then we'll have an opportunity for you all to ask questions. So with that, can we have next slide, please?
All right, guys. Let me know if you guys can't hear me. I'm going to keep my mask on, kind of a little under the weather, just FYI. But if you need me to speak up, definitely let me know. Boys and Girls Club. Our mission here is to inspire and enable all young people, especially those who need us the most, reach our full potential, responsible, caring, and responsible and caring citizens. So we are. Boys and Girls Club of the Austin area strives to bridge the opportunity gap for the Austin area youth ages 6 to 18 across the Travis and Bastrop counties through high-quality out-of-school programming schools, community centers, and public housing sites. How do we do it? To influence the lives of youth most effectively through our mission and vision, BGCAA offers after-school and summer programming in three core program areas: academic success, healthy lifestyles, and character and leadership. Our impact. This comprehensive approach to youth development allows club kids to bridge the gap between access and opportunity, resulting in healthier, happier, and more caring adults. These are our three core program areas: academic success, character and leadership, and healthy lifestyles. Academic success. Our programs enable youth to achieve academic goals, career paths, explore career paths, embrace technology, and prepare for employment. Character and leadership. The Boys and Girls Club offers three programs for community service: our Torch Club program, Keystone program, and our Teen Summer of Service. Healthy lifestyles. Our programs enable club youth to identify healthy foods while providing free snacks during club hours.
So, introduce myself, Jose Sustaita. I work alongside Mr. Arthur here, Castillo. Thank you for having us, distinguished members of HACA at all levels, so thank you. I wanted to highlight Alberto Lopez. He was selected as our 2022 Youth of the Year, which is basically across our agency in the Austin area. The exemplary teens get to apply to become the our Youth of the Year, which is our program that we featured throughout the year in 2022. So Alberto, he's coming from Chalmers. They also get honored with a scholarship so they can continue to pursue their education. He's one of our youngest members at 16. He actually, you know, competed with high schoolers, and he was able to win that honor, along with that responsibility of being chosen. Alberto has had the opportunity to also speak, obviously, at his presentation for the speech of the Youth of the Year. He also gave a speech for the annual golf fundraiser that we do. And then he also spoke at our annual luncheon as well. So he has had that opportunity to expose himself and get some leadership skills. He's still working on it. Obviously, he's very young, but we're very proud of him that he's reached this far, and I have no doubt that he's going to continue to excel as a young man. And that's, at the end of the day, that's our main goal, to put kids in a position that they can be successful.
I'm just curious, Chalmers South, Chalmers East, which property?
That will be... Is that Chalmers East, Mr. Franklin?
Chalmers South, actually.
These are Chalmers South?
Mm-hmm. Chalmers South. Right. So that's where we're at. Can we go back a little bit on those licensing? We jumped over a little more.
Yeah. But we'll just go over our goals. Yeah. So jumping into our goals, 90% of youth members will actively be involved in homework assistance. 88% of Chalmers and Meadowbrook youth members attended Power Hour, which is our like our homework help session program during the 2021-2022 school year. Our goal, 70% of youth members who qualify will successfully complete a prevention program. Successful completed pre and post tests score higher on post tests. 45% participated in a prevention program. Boys and Girls Club of the Austin area runs two prevention programs. Texan, which is our juvenile prevention program, OJJDP, which is our mentoring program, one of which requires pre and post tests. Of the youth that participated in this program, 40% successfully completed the program.
Also, another goal that we have is we also run STEM classes as well for our youth. And we keep track of this statistics. And 80% of our youth participating in our STEM classes. So that's excellent. And we also obviously are part of the community. We like to get the families involved and engaged as well. So our goal was 20%. We were able to reach 21%. So how do we do that? We provide opportunities for them to engage with us, which is the back to school fair, the health fair, kids day, along with the partnerships we have with HACA and the events that you guys put on as well. So that's our goal, to keep the families engaged and involved as part of the plan to help our youth be the best they can be, obviously. Our vision, currently we do have a new CEO. Some of you guys may or may have not met him already. His name is Mr. Gordon Butler. He's very education focused. And from our understanding right now, education is huge because, you know, there was some struggle with the pandemic. So a lot of our kids, not only in the HACA area, but also in our schools, that we noticed that there's a big gap there. So that's going to be a lot of our effort going into that education part, so we can get them up to speed and getting going, so they can obviously continue to be competitive as well. We continue to have collaborations with mentors and volunteers with UT. So we do have a volunteer program that we, you know, even companies, corporations that want to do a volunteer event, whether it be STEM or something to that extent, we partner with the HACAs or other sites so they can get that experience too, from outside the, not necessarily just our agency, but also in the community as well. We also hosted volunteers from the University of Texas that helped with our reading program. That was very successful as well, over the summer too as well, they were there. We also had I think it was a teen mentoring program, Ms. Leilani. I forgot the name of it.
The Summer Youth Internship Program.
Summer Youth Internship Program. Yes. So we hosted youth that were there to support as well. So it's kind of like mentors and support professionals. And that also helps with them develop those skills as well. So that was very successful. We're very happy about that. We're excited about the new building, the new HACA building. I think that's definitely going to be a space where we can expand and those kids mm-hmm. can have a lot more things to be able to do. And obviously, you guys continue to grow with a playground that you guys have there. So that expansion has definitely helped us a lot. So we can do more things. Over the summer, I will have to say it was a little challenging. And I'm going to bring staff in because, you know, it was tough. But we managed to transport the kiddos to our home club. We provided two bus routes, so we can get as many kids there to our home club location. We provided services, and Mr. Arthur was directing over the summer. Definitely a challenge. As you can see, the busing thing is an ongoing rotation, but we managed to do it. And we appreciate the support of Barbara and Leilani to help us do that and be able to adapt as necessary. The services are ongoing, and we continue to fulfill that commitment with you guys. And we really do appreciate that. And we do hope, again, to continue to provide the services and continue our partnership. You know, our children are there, and we want to continue to serve them as best as possible, along with other community members and your support services. So thank you.
For questions?
Yes. We can open it up.
Of course. I read your material with great interest, and of course I am very pleased with the work that the Boys and Girls Clubs do throughout the Austin area. But I'm a little bit concerned about the vagueness in the percent of students you're helping and at what grade level or age level. For example, if you say 80% of the students participate in tutoring, what are we talking about? How many students at what grade level and what kinds of things did they need the greatest assistance with? So that I appreciate having that kind of information, because we are very concerned about the gap that existed as a result of the pandemic. And we know that reading is the most fundamental of those skills. Also math, and how that ties in with the STEM program, because that is another area that you talked about. Well, what were the age groups? How many were in elementary school and participated? How many were in middle school? How many in high school? And what positive results can we see from that? Because one of the most important things is to get our kids interested in math, in science, in these technological skills where the jobs will be. And so somehow I want to be able to get a sense of the progress for students with what in what age group. Do you have that data now, or is it possible to get it?
We could definitely get that for you, for sure.
Okay. And how do you feel about that? In other words, if you're focusing on reading and emphasis of promotion from one grade to the next, what kinds of activities are you using with the younger students in elementary school? Are they different from middle school students? How many high school students are participating? Many of them tend to fall away from that kind of assistance. And what we need to do is encourage them, because those are such critical years. So they will tell you that I am data driven.
That's good.
Obsessive. I don't know which, but I'm simple. But I really think this is important for us to know.
Okay.
I can answer one question that between the two clubs, 150 students were served.
But we don't know what age group.
I don't have anything broken down.
I'd probably say majority of those, I'd say 80% of those kids are elementary based.
That's what I would think, but what can we do to encourage middle school students who, let's say, need tutoring assistance to become more involved? And of course, I'm delighted to see parents being involved. But we really have to try to encourage almost support groups that they could help each other.
Right.
And how can we work on that to improve that?
Okay.
I think, Commissioner, one of the important things I think you're highlighting is that there really is a need for data. And I think we did a little bit of a pass on the data during the pandemic. But I think we're going to need to see a deeper level of analysis from Boys and Girls Clubs in the future as part of our expectations of the partnership. I would invite you guys maybe to think about coming back in a couple months' time with that data. And let's, at that point, we may be able to do a pre-meeting where we pull together a group, as we've done in the past, to do a little deeper dive into the data. I think Dr. Duncan Hall asked, we'll have at that point most of this year's data. And we should be able to extrapolate some things. We're making some big investments in you guys, just to be really honest with you.
Yeah, for sure.
The thing that you guys took a tour of, is a multi-million-dollar undertaking. And so this is a big contract for us. So we want to see things sliced and diced a little bit more.
Sounds good. All
right. We do have all the names that are reported, and we could run it through our data and see what age the kids are. But that doesn't always tell the grades. So we can add that to the report pretty easily.
That'd be okay. We can get that for you. Yeah. That'd be great.
Question. Do you think that a lot of these middle school students are getting mentored and or tutored at their school? And that's why they don't come in there? Or can you offer this just for middle schoolers and high school, that you have mentoring in there, you have UT students come and help them if they need it?
I think it's
advertise that,
part of our advertisement is allowing that, like that's our first approach, is talking to the parents. Right. Letting them know that, hey, we provide this homework out, whether it's an hour or if not, we have a little bit more time to give you that. For us, I think, when we had some staffing issues, it's more of like these parents would really want that one-on-one time. So we would bring in like those UT volunteers. And when we do that, like it's more of talking to the schools, the principals, as far as like, what is the main struggle? we have reading issues, we have mathematic issues. From there, then it's kind of like, okay, give us that grade range. And then are those our kids? If those are our kids there, and actually finding, you know, those right, let's just say volunteers or those right mentors, and then seeing where we can go ahead and just put them together to see where their struggles are for the kids. So.
And your day is structured so the younger kids are there earlier and right. The older kids come later. So they have their own time already and would have their own age appropriate services.
Right.
Yeah, just to get that information, I think would be very useful. Because I think that this is one of the most important activities we provide, or service, I should say, for our clients that we provide. And it's the only thing I know that is going to break that cycle.
Right.
So that's why I think all of us are very interested in what progress we're making.
Okay. Commissioners, are there any other questions or of the board?
I'll just say that I know the other commissioners want some additional data. I think it'll be helpful, but I think, you know, the service you all are doing, especially during COVID, when very few folks were providing that type of service to kids, because I know the parents needed a break. So I commend you all. And again, that's a big deal for me to do, because I grew up in the YMCA program. I would daddy grow. We had the Boys Club and the YMCA, and I was in the YMCA program. So the Boy Scouts were always rival for us. So, I mean, the Boys Clubs were always rival, but I really appreciate what you all are doing. I think you're doing a good job. And so, you know, be interested to see the data when we get it. And I think part of it also for us, I think we engage these contracts. I think we, as a board, need to specify what we're looking for in terms of outcomes so that they can provide that.
And Commissioners, I'd also note that you guys also were very kind to step up when we had the collapse of a contractor at Booker T. Washington. So that's the reason why they're not on the same cycle. We were grateful that Boys and Girls Club could step in quickly to make sure that those kids didn't see as much of a lapse as they would have had they not stepped in. So we're grateful for that. If there's no other questions, I would suggest a motion to pass resolution number 2784, renewing the Boys and Girls Club contract for Chalmers and Meadowbrook.
I so moved. Second.
Commissioner Apostolo moves to approve, and Commissioner Duncan Hall seconds. Is there any further comment or discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And thanks. Congratulations.
Thank you for all you do. Appreciate it.
Don't leave yet, by the way. Right. Number four is resolution number 2785, approving to renew communities and schools in schools case management and property-based tutoring services. We're really pleased to be joined by Cammy Warren and by Sharon Vigil, who's the new CEO for communities and schools. Glad to have you guys here.
Need another chair.
Yes.
So now it's a great segue to our next youth contract. Communities and Schools is our largest youth contract, our largest contract, at least under Austin Pathways. And so we're thrilled to have Sharon and I go way back. I've known her a very long time, and also Cammy here. So Sharon is the new CEO, and Cammy Warren is the program director of campus-based services, and we'll have a presentation about their Smart Kids program. Just a quick comment before I hand it over to Barbara, similarly, is for Communities and Schools, this is definitely the organization that really deals with the deepest mental health problems and issues that we have with our families. And it's a wraparound service. They've been very instrumental during the COVID-19 shutdown. They, in addition to providing the mental health services, they also deployed laptops and tablets. And that's something that supplemented what Digital Inclusion had under Catherine Crago, because we did just have enough for everybody. And they were able to help to make sure that all of our kids are connected during the pandemic. So,
and were they?
I beg your pardon?
Were all the kids connected?
Yes, they were. Yes, they were for the ones that were issued. Yes, and then
where did you guys get the laptops and stuff from?
We very quickly started a partnership with a local provider, Verizon, and we also got hotspots to go alongside of it. Mm-hmm. So we we immediately knew that that's what our students were going to do. So we were able to grasp a lot of them. And I will say, to Cammie's credit, she is an advocate for smart kids, is what we call this program. And she's like, these are for my children. So we're really happy to have been able to support you all.
And that was like, you know, quick thinking, right? Yeah. So we basically went from resident services to crisis managers overnight. And that was definitely one of them. And AASD was, they were deploying several of the devices were not working at all. And some of them needed individual hotspots. It was really a tag team effort between also the Boys and Girls Club, but definitely community schools that stepped up and filled that gap for our students. So with that, I'll hand it over to Barbara for more historical.
Can I just add the resources the board provided?
Yes,
we had ready cash to buy devices when we didn't have devices that were being donated, or and we had a supply chain of that as well.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, that is very true.
The all stepping up was hugely impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Take it away, Barbara.
Yeah. I just wanted to point out that the Communities and Schools Smart Kids program serves the Haka resident youth that have the most need. And these are students that are referred to this program primarily through teachers, counselors, and other school staff. So it's not just about wanting to participate and have fun. It's about identifying the kids with the most need and getting them connected to communities and schools. And these are the needs based on behavioral challenges, attendance, or academic support. So that I just want to remind folks about that.
So I'm going to take some time to introduce myself. Buenas tardes, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Sharon Vigil, and I am the new CEO at Communities and Schools. I am not new to CIS. I've been in the programming area with CIS for about 6 years, but I am new to the role. I know you all have had deep relationships with our previous CEO, Suki, and so I hope to really build that with you. But I also wanted to introduce my partner and my colleague, Cammie Warren. She has really invested her career at CIS, making sure that this is one of our main partnerships and that we steward it and that we care for it intentionally. So she's here to keep me on track and to keep me focused. So if you see her nudging me, I've talked too long. But let's go ahead and let's get started. I wanna share with you that this is a reflection, right? It's the new year. And so we're gonna reflect back on last year. And so this is an opportunity for us to really elevate the great work that Cammie and the team have done and for us to really celebrate all that we accomplished with your support. So last year, we provided over 9,800 hours of services, and we provide those services in 5 specific areas. We provided in student support, guidance, and counseling. And so that looks like helping students with self-regulation, doing self-esteem groups. That means also doing one-on-one work. When you look at the health and human services, that's us partnering with other social service providers and making sure that students have what they need. I will tell you that we at CIS say that we do not have the answer, but we bring answers together. There is no one organization that could do this alone. And so that's part of our programming. I want to then share with you a little bit about the enrichment portion, which is 35%. Why we love this partnership is because we work with students on campus, but then we follow them and we engage with them in their house, with their parents, with their siblings. And so that really is a high quality service that we provide. And so I'll move on a little bit more. And so that is, I wanted to make sure that you all look at this data and see if you have any questions later, but I wanted to share one thing. You see that $73,000 of direct financial assistance to families? That is funding that CIS leverages above and beyond this contract. So sometimes families can't pay a bill, or sometimes students need clothes. And so CIS goes out and fundraises, and we provide direct cash assistance to make sure that families are bridging and so that students can stay in school and that the family is really protected. Next. Let me share a little bit more about our services. I really loved the question about give me the numbers, not the percentages. So here are some numbers. last year we served 304 students. And based on the question that you gave, I'm happy we went second. Based on the question that you gave the Boys and Girls Club, we served 9 kindergartners, 1 pre-K, 15 first graders, 13 second graders, 17 third graders, 15 fourth graders, 16 fifth graders, 12 sixth graders, 11 sixth graders. eighth graders, and then I will give you the rest. And so want you to know that we have that data as well, and we'll be able to provide that to you. Additionally, 175 students attended the Smart Kids After School program. So we served 304 deeply on campus, building family relationships, and then 175 continued to work with us after school. 87% of all HACA students received a school-wide basic needs and crisis support, and that really goes along to what Barbara was really talking about. I want to highlight from this last part. Our new strategy, and this really came from families, this also came from what you all requested from us last year. New strategy to support students' academic progress includes check-ins between CIS staff, the HACA student's teacher, and the student. And so that meant that we were talking to teachers about students' grades on average 4 times per student. And that's a lot of check-ins, and that is a lot of support for academic supports. Okay, so 89.4% of HACA students improved or maintained a targeted academic behavior and or attendance, 99.6 stayed in school, and we know exactly the one. So if we can definitely talk about that. We know your students intimately, and we can answer questions after that, after this presentation. 97.3 graduated or were promoted to the next grade level. Okay. Not only do teachers and principals say that we make a difference as we're working with your students, but families say that this is a good thing to have. And so 100% of the parents and guardians that we surveyed said that CIS supports help them stay connected to school. The beauty of this program is that we create bridges and pathways so that parents feel like they can advocate for academics, that they feel like I have a say-so, and it is my role and responsibility to advocate in school. And so that really is something that we are proud of. Next. I wanted to remind you that last year we brought an external researcher to come and share some data with you. We continue to do that. I will tell you, we can't do that every year because it's really costly. But also some of the infrastructure that we need from AISD hasn't been there. We're working with them to make sure that we have that. But I wanted to remind you that when first we had a hard time finding a comparison group, because your students have some of the highest needs and are sometimes the most vulnerable. So the comparison group we couldn't find. So the closest comparison group who had higher income, who did not have the highest needs, compared to that comparison group, our HACA students improved 3 times more than those students. Additionally, it's important to understand that, the Boys and Girls Club was just talking about the COVID slide. Well, what we shared with you last time was that our students came back more ready to learn, and we call it less worse, right? Because everyone had a slide. Mm-hmm. We all did, my son did too. But your students came back at least one grade above this comparison group. So not only does our program show that we work on helping kids catch up, but we also make sure that the summer slide, the COVID slide, doesn't impact because of how we surround students and families. And so our goal is that probably in about a year, we get to give you a little bit more of a comparison group. We're currently working with TEA to give us a much more fine-tuned comparison group. But that's what we have for you today. We are really proud of the work that we do. We're really proud of this partnership. Thank you for hosting us. And we'll open it up for questions.
I'd just say administratively, we also have not missed a beat with Cammie's continued leadership and then Sharon stepping in. Sharon, as you may know, served as the longtime chief operating officer, so intimately familiar with CIS. And again, Suki continues to be engaged as well, making sure that the organization has a really smooth transition. Those are really important. It's wonderful when leaders continue to take an interest like Suki has, and she was such a transformational force. And we know you'll take the see on to do even greater things in a different direction.
I appreciate that. People ask me, what's the best piece of advice? And as I'm getting in my role, and I don't know if, but I saw you at Central Market, and he said, build your own shoes. don't fit into other shoes. So I really appreciate that. And I've been taking that with me and really appreciate that Suki has been involved, but I'm really looking to building my own shoes. And this is sort of part of it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for that advice too.
Can we send any acknowledgement to Suki for all of her years?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there were celebrations and things to it. Yeah, absolutely.
I missed all that.
We weren't at, Food for Thought, unfortunately.
Yes, we were. You were at Food for Thought.
Yes. Somewhere. Yes. I was not.
We were there, yeah.
But yes, I think Suki's been told goodbye.
Several times. Several times.
Yeah. But you know, if you want to say goodbye to her, I will get her for you.
Yeah. Thank you. And I have a feeling she probably will be staying in the background rooting you on.
Oh, absolutely.
She's a whisperer.
Yeah.
She's still there. So that's wonderful.
So commissioners, this is a big contract for us. And obviously staff strongly believes in this partnership. We love the partnership with others. This is a really special one. The level of services, the degree of services are clearly much more intense, and we think that really makes a transformative difference to our kids. We wish we could do even more, and we continue to, I think one of the challenges we would ask of Sharon and Cammie, which we ask every year, is how can we leverage additional fundraising dollars? Because we're a public agency as well, right? So we're entrusted with serving those lowest income kids, the very ones you're entrusted to serve also. So we find ways to leverage some of those resources that you all perhaps are able to access from philanthropy or from others, that would be great. But this has been a major contract, I think, for CIS as well. And we want to keep this going. And we think that what we can do this year is consistent with what we've done in the last several years. And we would urge your approval. Do you all have any questions?
Well, Senator Kim? Of course. But it just occurred to me, that we have obviously supported this program and you have done a wonderful job over the years. I just feel that the need is becoming so much more desperate. I would say greater, but it's more than that. And I guess I was wondering, with all of the new high-tech firms moving in and more opportunities coming for students in this area, have you gone out and obtained grants and funding from these various companies like Cimatech and AMD and
Orlando Tech?
I'm just trying to run through them. Tokyo Electron, Samsung.
Apple. Yeah, so I'll share with you that 400 billion in dollars in philanthropy in the United States is given yearly. And less than 2% of that comes from corporations that you just mentioned. So have we tried to go after them? Yes, we have Tesla on our board. We had to beg Apple for iPads. And so corporations we have found, and statistically it shows that that's not where you're going to get most of your funding. Where you're going to get most of your funding is in the foundations and grants and federal grants and also individual donations. I spoke to the team and I know that Mike has to advocate for more. And part of how we do more is collaborating and co-grant writing. That is one thing that I think we as a partnership could do, could strengthen our muscle in that area. And so we want to serve more. And we also acknowledge that it just can't be on the backs of this commission. And also we have to do it together.
Yes.
And so, we tried, and if you can connect us with people, please help us. But the reality is that those corporations give less than 2%.
Well, it seems to me that we could do something to increase that number. And I have written grants myself when I was running summer youth academy programs, and most of my funding did come from high-tech firms. So I know it's possible to do, and I just think that we need to make them understand that we are not giving them all these tax breaks and everything when they come into our city, and that they bring their own workers with them. And I think that at one point, when Cimatech was created, as the think tank for that whole industry, that they understood that they had a purpose and a responsibility to the workers here, to train them. And they provided a lot of money to ACC, for example, to create various programs and also build a building, which I oversaw at the Riverside campus. And so we know it's possible. And I think that now that the national effort is that we bring more manufacturing back to the United States and stop losing these opportunities, that it's a golden opportunity for agencies such as yours and us to understand that we can build our own and we can educate our own that meet their needs. So I'd like to see us take a step forward in whatever way we can.
I think that's a really important point that you've made, Dr. Duncan Hall. I think the I think we certainly can work on co-grant writing. We love to do that. We have a very able grant writer. You know, the things you're talking about have actually been done so well. We're in, you know, partnership with Austin Community College. There's Clear Tracks. Mm-hmm. They've developed the consistency and the continuity and have had the vision to carry students who are, you know, ready for you know, college level work. Mm-hmm. I would just say, from our own experience here at the Housing Authority, is with so many, the school district's in a shambles. I mean, it is a mess. The teachers have, you know, it's hard to hold out to teachers. We're on our fourth superintendent, who's now an interim in as many years.
Right.
They're your largest supporter. They're your largest funder. Is AISD? I think we're second or third. Having that system that's supposed to serve our kids being in such rough shape is, I think, something that really should concern everyone in this community. Because if that foundational element's not there, the whole rest of the house that is built on that is really faulty. You can't say that, but I can.
I was going to ask Sylvia and Lisa. Hey, Lisa, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I mean, you're two in the room. You all are serving employees, right? You all were here back when did you
23
I've been here since 1994.
Okay.
August.
So I think this is
94.
You were in CIS, right?
Yes, Mark. Yes. Yeah.
So this is the longest contract we've had with any vendor, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
CIS has been around
about
20 years.
2001.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we did it in 2001, but I don't know any other contract, even legal services, the trash services, everything. I think this is the longest serving contract.
It is. Yeah, for this type of service, absolutely. Yeah. I would say Boys and Girls Club is up there too, but probably CIS is, it's definitely one of the largest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I my colleague, Commissioner Duncan Hall, I love the way she always pushes our partners to do even more and not get satisfied. So don't take this as a criticism from her. That's just her role. And I like the fact that she plays that role. And I get the chance to come behind her and say, I appreciate all you all have done. You make a difference. For all the kiddos.
Good cop, bad cop. Right?
But, you know, because it took me a while to really, I mean, I'd heard about community schools for a very long time. I think the first time I heard about it was in 1984 when Mark White was governor and his wife, Miguel, was on the board. I think she was on the national board. And I heard a lot about it then, but I didn't really understand it until when Commissioner Duncan Hall got on the board. And she started asking you all some very pointed questions, because I was pushing Suki in terms of outcomes, in terms of grades and stuff. And I didn't realize that, you know, it was not just about academic enrichment, but it was sort of the whole wraparound services, because there's so much that goes on in a kid's home that either can impact them positively or negatively in terms of their learning ability. So I mean, what you do is very challenging because, I mean, you're dealing with kids who've got real problems, not just them, but the problems that they have to cope with. And so I appreciate what you all are doing. So, again, Commissioner Duncan Hall is making sure that you all are not satisfied with the praise I'm giving you. Continue to push yourself and continue to take it to the next level. And again, I just appreciate all that you've done, especially during these past couple of years when we've dealt with COVID. Know that our kids are able to go back, and in some cases, or grade higher, a real big deal, especially in terms of sort of the triage that occurred in terms of making sure everybody had a computer, they could do their work, working with the school district. And, you know, Mike is right about, you know, AISD. I don't like to say negative things about organizations or individuals, but I mean, I think Lisa and Sylvia, because they go back to 2000 when I was, it wasn't you, Sylvia. I forget who was, and it wasn't you, Barbara, but I forget who was doing it.
Veronica Macon?
It was Veronica. I mean, because I was on her, like, every board meeting about, hey, you know, what's going on? We ought to be, you know, we're reading almost weekly about the dropout issue going on with AISD. And I was pushing her, and she just said, look, they have gone through 3 dropout doors in 6 months. How can we work with somebody who's not there? And that's why we decided to just create our own programs, our own scholarship programs, the AB Honor Roll, because that's what they really grew out of, is because of our dissatisfaction with them. So I just want to say, you know, I feel your pain in terms of working with the school district, because we've been...
Hey, we didn't say it. We didn't say it. Take that off the record. No, I'm just playing.
No, I applaud what they do, and I know they're working hard. You know, they've got issues in terms of shortages of labor. They, you know, they got other issues in terms of they happen to be in the city of Austin, and they give away more of their money than they get to keep from the state. Mm-hmm. So they have all sorts of challenges. So it's not that I dislike them. It's just that, you know, we want what we want for our kids, and we have a right to do that because as appointees on this board, it's our role and responsibility to look out for our families and the kiddos. And so we're going to push and prod, and, you know, when the system's not going right, you know, we'll create something or go find something. But we appreciate you being a partner for 21 years.
Thank you.
Commissioners, we would ask for approval of resolution number 2785 renewing the communities and schools contract.
Nice. I move approval.
Commissioner Apostolo moves to, I'm sorry, Commissioner Duncan Hall moves to approve. Commissioner Apostolo seconds. Any further conversation? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Thanks.
Thank you so much. And I really appreciate it. I want to just kudos to Sharon for being an extra advocate for us. I get a little pushy, as she might have mentioned earlier, but I appreciate you all. And we actually have an upcoming campus visit on February 3rd. And so I would love to invite you all to that. It's gonna be at Northeast High School. I'll send you all details and you can forward it along. We provide lunch, it's during the lunch hour. And you can come learn more about some of our staff and students.
It might be nice to have, maybe at the end of the academic year, maybe to actually just take the board on a tour. Maybe we'll do something dedicated.
Definitely.
We can do a little deeper dive.
After the legislative.
After the legislative. Okay, perfect.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Commissioners, we're going to quickly move over to Austin Affordable Housing Corporation's agenda. We're going to take up item number 2. I'm sorry, first item will be the board certified forum. There's no public communication. We'd ask for approval of the board minutes for December 7th, 2022. Commissioner Apostolo moves to approve the board minutes. Commissioner Duncan Hall seconds the board minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. So we'll move to action item number 2, which is resolution number 00219 by the board of directors of Austin Affordable Housing Corporation, authorizing AHC to execute any and all documents or take other actions that's necessary or desirable to facilitate the acquisition of the Indigo Apartments, which consists of multifamily housing units and associated amenities in Austin, Texas, to be ground leased from the Housing Authority of the City of Austin, and to cause AHC subsidiary limited partnership to own the development, and 3, to cause the owner to enter into acquisition and development financing for the development, and lastly, to cause the AHC and or the owner to execute any such further documentation as necessary or desirable to allow the consummation of the transactions described herein, dealing with the Indigo apartment. And Ron Cole is going to give us the quick briefing on this item. You're going to see it on the C agenda, and then you'll see it on the HACA agenda, and hopefully we'll get your approval of this wonderful opportunity that'll be a really nice acquisition to our portfolio.
Thank you. Thank you very much, commissioners, guests, staff. That's a tough act to follow. That's great, great partnerships. I love listening to what they do. I don't get to hear all of that a lot, so it's really fun to see.
Well, and you certainly have been a model of developing partnerships.
We try. This is just different than me. It's amazing how important they are to what we do. So anyway, it was kind of neat to see. I'm glad I got to sit in on that. But Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you. And I'm excited, as Mr. Gerber stated, to open up the new year of 2023 with an opportunity here that was presented to us. This is a property called the Indigo Apartments, as was mentioned. It's 325 units. You can see by the map, it's located off of Lakeline Boulevard, just east of 183, 3 minutes from the local transit rail station there in Lakeline. It's also about 10 minutes away from the ACC Cypress Creek campus. It's also surrounded by a number of, obviously, Lakeline Mall and a lot of service sector jobs, from restaurants to just a ton of retail, and you know the area very well. It is an opportunity that was presented to us with our partners at Oberon Corporation. We do not have any assets in the Lakeline area, so this will be a first for us if this gets so approved, and we're super excited to present this to you. It's a project that's built in 2013. Sits on a little over 18 acres. It's got a tremendous amount of amenities there, from the fitness center to the dog park to the washing stations to detached garages to full kitchens and billiards lounge, coffee bar, all kinds of things like that. Pretty typical of what you see on some of these assets that we've been bringing you previously. The property feeds into, it's in the Round Rock School District, and it feeds into Purple Sage Elementary, Pearson Middle School, and McNeil High School, very, very good, strong schools. I will say, as many times as I've been out there, it's really fun to watch the school buses pull in and see the kids come off the bus. It's a very heavily, not young children, but more middle school to high school students that attend through this property. So that was kind of neat to see. It's broken down into 193 one bedrooms, 124 two bedrooms, and 8 three bedrooms. I will say the two bedroom, two bath units are extremely large. They're 1,089 square feet to 1,204 square feet. So they provide a, you know, really, really spacious opportunity there to offset some of the lesser number of three bedrooms of only 8 units there. In our due diligence when we were doing this, I wanted to share, which I thought was really neat, what we're going to inherit of the 325 units. 15 of those units are serving people at 30% or below AMI. 26 units are at 40% at AMI. 26 units are at 50% at AMI. And 30 units are at 60% AMI. Typically, when I present these, we tell you we're going to do 40% at 80 and 10% at 60. Belveron's committed to us to keep these units where they are, and so we're going
to
get
in addition to the 10%.
Well, instead of 10%, we're going to meet that 10% at 40, but we're not going to bump these 30s and 40s and 50s. We're going to stick with those
rents. What I am going to ask you to do, Ron, with the chair, is that the information that you just provided appear in the minutes for this item, because that is really good information. And
absolutely.
It seems like a model that you might want to follow in future.
It's something, what we run into with other partners sometimes is when they see these units at 30s and 40s, and they know the law says all we have to do is 80, right? So we can displace those units as they leave and move up, and then they have nowhere to go, especially the 30s and 40s.
Right.
So we're really excited that it fell into this. So overall, the whole property is already at about 45% below in our affordability target range. So given that the location is where it is and the timing is where it is, it really, really fell in our laps. This was a property we looked at about 6, 7, 8 months ago, and it was so overly priced that it just everybody passed, especially as the market conditions were turning. The owners came back to us. We were looking at about $285,000 a unit. We're buying this for about $245,000 now. So we're getting back. We got down to a really, really good purchase price there. The total price is $80 million, $80,262,000 to be exact. And we'll do all our normal replacement reserves of $2 million set aside for capital improvement. Property's in fantastic condition for 2013. It's a beautiful asset. Great location, lots of walking trips. There's a big park just to the west of that, I think, is one of the largest parks over there in Cypress Creek, which is fairly actively used from what we've determined. Our friends at Bellwether will be doing the financing here for us. And we hope that, we'll be able to open this up based on the affordability where it is now, that this should be. There are currently zero voucher holders at this property. It hasn't been marketed to them. And we hope that we can attract, some strong stakeholders out of our voucher program to come and join here just because of the opportunities from the schools to there's a brand new children's health hospital that's being built. I mean, within walking distance of this property as well, just to the west and to the north, which you can't just land now. You can't see it, but that's proposed. It looks like that's going to happen.
Is that the Texas Children's?
Texas Children's. Yeah, had they started? I couldn't remember when I drove there. I think it just started. They just broke ground, or they're starting doing that now. So there's an opportunity. There's more jobs there and more opportunities for healthcare and things like that. So anyway, it's a fantastic opportunity for us. It checked all the buttons that I really like in terms of the affordability being the most important. I think it fits right in with our mission of opening up another area of affordability that does not exist in a walking distance to a rail station. You have the Capitol, the parking park and ride there is right over there. It's a large park and ride within 3.5 minutes away.
A block and a half.
Yeah, about a block and a half from the apartment. So it's just a really great opportunity for us. And I hope you all will approve this transaction for us. And we're scheduled to close, here very, probably within the next 30 days. Should we get this approved, and we'll be on our way. So we're really excited.
So this would become the Bridge at Indigo.
This would be called the Bridge at Indigo Apartments. We were able to keep the name. Yes.
We like the Bridge.
I like
branding.
Yeah. I wanted to say to you, and I'm, this is a true confession. When I read this agenda item and I turned to my friend from San Francisco who's visiting me, and I said, this is the hard part of my job. I said, they're providing only 10% with 98% occupancy. And it's not going to be enough for that area. And then you have just now given me the best birthday present by saying that they have so many units that are already below median. And a couple of tears came to my eyes when you did that. So I wanted to say that if we could continue on that course and find other properties that have this much below average medium income in high opportunity areas, this would be really neat. And I'm very excited about this when I wasn't.
Thank you.
And
I think to support what you said, I mean, the key there is they're there now, but now they're going to exist there longer, because typically what that would, those low incomes would be automatically displaced, especially coming into the first quarter of 2023 as rents start creeping up again, people start moving around, springtime, people are relocating. So much is going on there. You'll see for-profit owners start displacing those lower incomes for higher unit, higher dollar rents. So we're able to preserve those units, which I thought was a really neat thing that Belveron and us are doing.
Definitely is. And now, is Belveron the only partner that we have that would go this deep?
No, I think CDT would consider this as well. I know L&M has been very responsive to this as well. So, and that's why you see us not really broadening too many different, you know, I mean, we know who our partners are. They get our mission. They understand where we fall, and they've continually strived to do more with us. And it's and the proof's in the pudding. I mean, we've got enough assets. I mean, this is our 14th asset with Bell Brown, 13th, and I see the affordability that they provide.
We're managing. We're providing.
We're managing it
through AMP and through Ron's asset management. We've got, you know, vigorous controls. We know, you know, we walk every unit. We know those properties intimately, and you know, we've seen them. We're engaged there. So it's not, so while the money may be from Belvron wanting to be placed there, and sure, they're an important part of the ownership structure, the actual operations and expectations for the asset delivering what it's supposed to, make sure that the affordability levels are met, and that people are doing, that it's performing the way we need it to. Yeah, that falls squarely on us and the team we've built within AMP, which is, I think, very much a very real extension of us.
And we will bring some services through our CARES teams, and typically that, you know, whether once we assess what we have there, whether that means a little bit of after school care even in the summertime, which is what we're gauging up to in a lot of our assets, to have a place for the kids to come and hang out during the summer for, you know, for a few hours where mom and dad or whatever are working, to some other programming from health and wellness to retirement savings, just to credit improvement, whatever we need to do out there, we're going to do. So we'll assess that once we get ourselves acclimated. We do a intake survey. Is, you know, if we were to take this over, we will do a survey of the residents, and our teams go out and canvas, and it's kind of a cool thing. So yeah, this will be a fun one. I just was really excited to be in, you know, we've been looking long and hard here. I know Walter Moreau's gotten to put a project up here closes, but I think that's probably the only affordable.
We've had a couple nearby, so I mean, we're not.
Yeah, you know, we're not too far away from Valente and
the one down on three on the
Anderson Mill.
At Anderson Mill, yeah, it's the yep. Valente, yeah. So there's some of
the ones on Steiner Ranch.
And Steiner Ranch on 620, yeah.
But Commissioner Dunghall, I think you asked a really important point. You're ensuring your excitement about this deal and looking even better and wanting to do more of this. The one of the challenges that I think Ron is facing, because we dealt with this really the early part of this week, was, you know, we had somebody who's ready to go, mm-hmm. and we had to say to somebody, which is usually what we find, you know, someone's ready to go, and we've got a great deal, mm-hmm. actually not too far from here, mm-hmm. and what we've said is that's not how we work. We need to see you put in your qualifications. Mm-hmm. Then we need to go and do a variety of things related to due diligence. That'll include walking the units, mm-hmm. being involved on day one, talking to the seller, mm-hmm. Making sure that we have put together the team and have helped shape the team that will ultimately, you know, build the capital stack that will buy the property. Mm-hmm. And so there's that 45 to 60 day process, mm-hmm. that the market is really saying, you know, when I want to sell, you better be ready to, you know, if I could put the property up on Friday, you can close on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not ready, I'm going to go with the entity that's ready to go on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Our, as we see the market even more heat up with the speed of it, mm-hmm. how we find ways to do it safely, but also find ways to maybe even react more quickly. And I'm not sure what that looks like for the public board, because at the end of the day, we still need to come and get your approvals. Mm-hmm. But we may need to think about some different strategies. Ron, I spent some time talking about this. You know, how do we compete in a market that's just so hot, where you have people who have unlimited amounts of money ready to place it, you know, when a property comes up for sale on Friday, and you'll entertain offers the following week, and then, you know, Monday we choose. And maybe it's not happening quite that quickly, but it's pretty darn close.
It will start again. This market's not going to go away. I mean, it's we've got a nice pause, but that also gives us advantages here too, in that we can afford to get stuff like this and some deep affordability, and some of the players that want to see these $600, $700, $800 rental increases have now gone away. You know, given, you know, the state of the economy with interest rates and things like that. So it's actually played to our advantage a little bit, but we're very careful.
A lot's happening in this market that we need to keep you all apprised on. And if we do a work session, it's probably would be worth our while, Ron, maybe thinking about trying to bring in, I think, you know, one of the panels I heard recently, that maybe bring in two or three different folks to give you all sort of a take on, you know, the market.
Current
maybe.
Market.
Yeah, maybe Dave Stonewood, maybe Mandy DeMayo, maybe Scott, what's his face from the home builders. But we it's been a while since we've done that. And the timing might be good. Not today, though.
No.
Today, we would ask for your approval of resolution number 219, authorizing a variety of actions enable us to purchase Indigo Apartments.
I would love to move approval.
Commissioner Nuckin-Hall moves second. Approval. Commissioner Apostola seconds. Is there any discussion? Favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And the ayes have it. There's no need for an executive session. We'd ask for a motion to adjourn Austin Affordable Housing Corporation.
So moved.
Commissioner Nuckin-Hall moves to approve. Second. Commissioner Apostola seconds. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Austin Affordable Housing Corporation is adjourned at 2:15 p.m. Central Standard Time, or Daylight Standard Time. We'll move back to the HOP agenda. And item number five is, again, ratifying the action you just took within AHC and enabling the Housing Authority of the City of Austin to take the actions necessary to purchase and engage in a partnership with regard to Indigo Apartments, including acquiring the site of the development, two, leasing the development site to the owner of the development, and three, any other actions necessary or convenient to carry out this resolution. We would ask for your approval of resolution number 2786. Is there a motion to approve?
Second.
Commissioner Apostola moves to approve. Seconded by Commissioner Nuckin-Hall. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. And resolution 2786.
Thank you.
We'll move on to item number six, which should be a very quick item.
I wasn't sure if we were going to go into executive session.
We'll just do it real fast.
Pretty straightforward. It's the renewal on waste management services for the properties and for the central office.
The cost of picking up trash. So item number six is resolution number 2787, awarding a renewal contract for agency-wide trash disposal and recycling services. The bottom line is that we don't have a choice. Costs have gone up. The and the increase requested is about 6.5%, and so we're asking for your approval for an amount not to exceed $352,225 going to Waste Management of Texas, Central Texas, of Waste Management of Texas Incorporated. Mm-hmm. Is there any questions of the commissioners regarding this item?
I was going to tease Nora about the letter writing, but I'll save it.
Is there anyone would like to make a motion to approve 2787? Commissioner Nuckin-Hall.
Second.
Commissioner Apostola seconds. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the ayes have it. Thanks for helping us get the bulk pickup and other trash. Very, very much, very important. So we will now go into executive session. I think we're. Who else is on the line? So Barbara's on. Barbara's welcome to stay. I would ask. Thanks to everyone else. We're going to executive session. So the board may go to executive session pursuant to Texas Government Code 551.071 for consultations with attorney regarding legal advice, pending or contemplated litigation or settlement offer. B, 551.072 of the Texas Government Code for discussion about the purchase, exchange, land or lease or value of real property. Section 551.074 of the Texas Government Code to discuss the appointment, employment, evaluation, reassignment, duties, discipline or dismissal of a public officer or employee or to hear a complaint or charge against an officer or employee. And lastly, section 551.087 of the Texas Government Code to discuss certain economic development negotiations. With the board's permission, we will now go into executive session. And I think we are clear.